the different ways in which we worship Bhagavan, in which we develop that love for God, and then that love will feed into our karma yoga. So Bhagavan only has sent all of this work our way. Etadatatam jagat devasya kavyam. This world, this entire universe is my Bhagavan's poetry, is my Bhagavan's composition. He only created it. And if Bhagavan has created the world, and this world itself is an effect of God, then you tell me, how can anything of this world be impure? Because it is him alone, right? In just last week only we studied in 7th chapter, Bhagavan said, 9th chapter, sorry, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam Jagat. This Jagat, this entire universe is pervaded by me alone. So if that is a fact, then can there be anything which is impure, which is tainted, which is negative? That is an impossibility, right? So this world is my Bhagavan's glory. This world is my Bhagavan's composition, his kavyam. And it is on this strength that Goswami Tulsidas ji said, Siya Rama Main Sab Jag Jaani. Karau Pranama Jori Jugapai. I have recognized that the entire creation is an expression of Bhagwan Ramachandra ji and Janaki Devi. And therefore, I do namaskar to all of them, all of the color people, and all of the Sant Mahatmas. Because we question, right? Why did Goswami Tulsidas ji do pranams to Sant to color people, to wicked people? It is because of this reason. Because he has seen God's expression in all of them. And like that, there are so many other quotations that we can use to support. Then, Pashyan Sadhakaha Sada Karma Karoti. With this kind of understanding, Sadhakaha, the Sadhaka, the Sevak, the Seeker, Sada Karma Karoti. He engages in all of his actions in this Karma Yoga spirit, with this Seva Bhava. So he's remembering these three things, that Ishasya Dasaha Aham, I am the servant of God. It is Bhagawan who has sent this work my way. And all of this entire creation is my Bhagawan's Kavyam. Now we see shloka number 5.
Soham kimidam vishvam kam pujayanti hajanascha devam pujayanti prayojanam kim mama jivanasya. Jignyasurevam vichinoti nityam.
So this jiva, he has engaged in karma yoga, in bhakti yoga, and now that mind which has become purified, that mind starts to inquire. He starts to think. And these five questions are presented as his inquiry. These questions we can also find in Viveka Chudamani, in Bhagavad, in Bhajagovindam also. So he asks, Kaha Aham? Who am I? Am I Atma or am I Ahankara? If I am Atma, what is the nature of that Atma? And he is asking this question, who am I? Because he has realized that some wrong identification is there. And because wrong identification is there, our Pujya Swamiji, Swami Bodhatmananda Ji, he explained it in this way, right? He said, if your starting point is wrong, everything else that follows will be wrong. So he gave example of a mathematical problem. If one equation is there and your starting point to solve that equation itself is wrong, then everything that follows, including your answer, will be wrong. So what you have to do, correct from the very beginning. And our correction is in the form of correcting our identity. I am not ahankara. I am Atma. So this question, kaha aham, is about the jiva. The jiva is inquiring, what is my real identity? Kutaha aham, from where have I come? What is my origin? What is my source? And not just parents and grandparents and that kind of thing, the five elements, not that, not in that way. What is my original source? What is my ultimate source, my ultimate cause in that way? Idam cha vishwam. This universe, I gather all of my experiences. What is this universe? What is this jagat? So, what is this universe from which I gather all of my experiences? Kam devam iha janaha pujayanti. Who is that God who is worshipped by all of the people here? In this creation is an effect, right? So if this creation is an effect, there must be a creator. Who is that creator who everybody is worshipping? This is a point that Swami Tejomayananda Ji brought in Isha Stuti. To prove the existence of God, he said, if there is an effect, there has to be a cause. And he gives different examples. If there is dancing, there is a dancer. If there is a building, there is a construction worker. So it means some cause is there, some creator is there. So if this world is there, which is an effect, then there has to be a creator, there has to be a God. Who is that God? So far, kaha aham is about jiva. Kimidam cha visham is about jagat. And who is this God that is about Ishvara? And the fifth question is the most important one. Mama jivanasya kim prayojanam? What is the purpose of my life? So four purusharthas are there: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And generally, the majority of people fall under dharma, artha, kama, and handful of people alone pursue moksha. And Bhagavan told in seventh chapter, right? Out of thousands of people, only few will pursue liberation. And of those few who pursue, only one fellow will gain moksha. What is the actual purpose of our lives? Yasuhu Nityam Vichinoti. In this way, he has transformed, means he has grown from just a mumukshu to a jignyasu. Mumukshu means he desires liberation. Jignyasu means he desires knowledge for liberation. So he knows the way to liberation, the path to liberation is through knowledge, not through any other means. Other means prepare us for gaining knowledge. But knowledge is the one and only way to gain liberation. So he has grown from the Badhaha to the Mumukshu to the Jignyasuhu. From the bound Jiva To the jiva who seeks liberation. To the jiva who seeks liberation through knowledge. This is his growth. So when in chapter 7, Bhagavan said, Bahunam Janmanamanti, only after thousands of births, many births, then that person, then that jiva comes to know me. This is not 1 month, 2 months, and 3 months. This is years and lifetimes that will pass. It is not in 5 minutes, oh, we graduate from Baddha to Mumukshu to Jigyasu in 1 hour. Not in that way. This process takes lifetime. And because it takes lifetimes, we should be pursuing diligently. Because if I don't pursue diligently, then it will take even more lifetime. Already it is taking so long. So I should strive, put forth sufficient effort in this life itself and not allow the process even further. In this way, he desires knowledge for the sake of liberation. Shloka. Tarkeṇ naiṣā matirāpadeyā. Jñātvā śrutir gacchati sadguruṁ yah. Viveka vairāgya samādhi yuktah. Gurum hi seveta sa shishya varinah. Tarkeṇa īrṣā matihi na āpaneya. This knowledge, this understanding, īrṣā matihi, na āpaneya, it cannot be attained tarkeṇa, through tarka alone. Actually, it cannot be gained through tarka, through logic. Knowledge is gained only through shruti, through scriptures, not through yukti, logic. So where does logic come in? Logic comes in as a supporter of knowledge. For example, I have studied scriptures. Having studied scriptures, I still have a doubt. How to resolve that doubt? There, we use logic. But we use logic that is in line with Shruti. It is known as Shruti Mata Tarka. This word comes in Sadhana Panchakam in Shloka 3. Shruti Matas Tarkaha. It is Tarka logic, which is in line with, in accordance with scripture. That type of logic we use. Not Dustarka. Not erroneous logic. So this line says that I cannot just gain knowledge through, cannot gain knowledge through logic alone. First, we study scripture. That study will produce some knowledge. If doubt is there, then we use logic. If we have studied scripture and knowledge is clear, we don't need logic. Right? So logic is used for mananam, for reflection, for thinking. Shravanam is where Shruti part comes in. I listen to the words of the guru, to the teachings of the guru. That teaching is what is going to give me knowledge. If I have doubt, if I am unclear, then I use that through mananam, I use logic to resolve whatever doubt so that that knowledge becomes clear. So knowledge can be supported by logic if needed, if doubt is there, and that logic should be in line with scripture. Yaha shrutehe jnatva. This piece of information that I need scriptures for knowledge, that he knows from scriptures itself. How did he know from scripture itself? Vedo nityam adhiyatam taduditam. Because he had been studying Vedas every day, at least in a general way. It is called as apatata jnana, general knowledge of scripture. He means he goes to satsang. He has been picking up things here and there. So he knows I need knowledge of scripture. What does he do after that? Because he knows I need knowledge from scripture. Where do I get that knowledge from? So, Sadgurum Gachati. If I have to study scripture, I have to approach a guru. So he does Guru Upasati. He does formal approach of the guru because he is fully aware that there is no such thing as independent study. We cannot study scripture independently. Yesterday, we covered the same topic in our class in the camp. And you will not believe half of the points that I prepared, they told. We had discussed it before I gave the answer. We discussed, do I need books or do I need guru? Can I study from books alone or do I need a guru? And they came up with the answers. The rest I gave, but they came up with the majority of it. Which means what? They also know that they need guru. So why can't we engage in independent study alone? Hear it, right? We need guru. But we also have to engage in group discussions for clarification. So it is not that we cannot study independently, but we must study under a guru first. Why should I waste time with trial and error? This is first point. They have a guru parampara is there. They already have tried and tested what works, what doesn't work. Why should I waste my life, my already short life, in trial and error? Just seek their guidance, their wisdom, their experience, and go. Run with it. Second, Shastra can be cryptic, right? This Gurudev only told, right? They were warning him, oh, this knowledge is not for everybody, and you will be telling all of the secrets of Shastra and whatnot and whatnot. And he said, Shastra will protect herself, right? Shruti will protect herself because it is as though cryptic. How to decipher that? I need guru only. Look at Bhagavad Gita alone. The word Atma comes in so many places. Atma means Atma. Atma means mind. Atma means body. How to know which is which? Right? For that purpose, I need guru. Then this shloka only was talking about Tarka, right? So if I start to engage in mananam and I somehow wrap myself up into a nice logical knot, I need somebody who is wise, who has already been there, who has already resolved that, to help me loosen that knot. Who will do that for me? It has to be the guru. Fourth reason. If I study independently, today I will make a conclusion. And tomorrow, someone else or even my own self, I can come up with a better logic and a better conclusion that refutes the conclusion I made today. So I have contradicted myself. Then that knowledge is not reliable. And the fifth point is one from Gurudev, what he tells. When you have a doubt, can you ask a question to the book? Right? You need that physical presence of the guru. And this is only five reasons, right? I'm sure many more are there. Why we need guru. So therefore, this jiva, he goes to the guru. What does he do? Gurum hi seveta. He serves seva. Huh? What the shloka in sadhana panchakam says as tat paduka sevyatam. Pratidinam tat paduka sevyatam. Every single day you engage in seva of guru. Why? Because guru has to know we have the ability to take instruction. Because guru will tell, okay, do this today. Okay, wash this clothes or go get this water or X, Y, and Z. Do this AV setup or whatnot. So many different sevas will be there. Do sweeping and cleaning and all of those things. Why? Because he wants to know if our ahankara is so great that we cannot take instruction to do little bit of seva. If my ahankara is so great that I cannot even do that much, means I am a Mahatma, right? In my own head, I am a Mahatma. So I am not taking any kind of instruction to do any menial work. Then that means what? If I cannot take this instruction, then how can I take instruction from scripture? I will not allow it to happen. So we engage in this guru seva because guru needs to know where the ahankara is. Is it all the way up here? Or all the way down here. Then only we can ask these five questions. Kaha aham, kutaha aham, etc. Vairagya shamadhi yuktaha. He is endowed with the qualities of viveka, vairagya, and shamadhi shatka sampatti. Guruji didn't say mukshutvam. Why? He already told mukshutvam was there. Beyond mukshutvam, this fellow is jignyasu now. Right? So it is understood mukshutvam and jignyasu are there. So he told that this knowledge has to take place in the antahkarana. And for knowledge to take place in antahkarana, it has to be prepared. What is that preparation? Sadhana Chatushtaya. So he is the Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikari. Endowed with Viveka Vairagya, Shamadhi Shatka Sampattihi and Mumukshutvam. Why is this preparation necessary? So that when Guru gives instruction, means scriptural instruction, that I am not Ahankara, I am Atma. That knowledge that occurs, that takes place in the Antahkarana will be crisp. It will be clear knowledge. It will be doubt-free knowledge. It will not be vague knowledge. It will not be misunderstood. Shishya Varyaha. Saha Shishya Varyaha. He is not just Shishya. He is not just disciple. He is the best amongst disciples. He has done Karma Yoga, which means he has done Bhakti Yoga. He has asked the right questions. He has gone to the Guru formally and done Guru Upasati. He has done Guru Seva. He has jignyasu. He has sadhana chatushtaya. He is the best amongst students. Such a student will allow the teacher to hammer that ahankara, to pound the ahankara with knowledge. For this, Shishya Bhava is needed. I have to adopt the identity of a student. I have to accept the guru as my teacher. Then only guru will teach. And we see this very clearly in Bhagavad Gita. In the whole of chapter 1, Arjuna lamented. He complained and he cried and he was dejected. And Bhagavan did not utter one word of teaching. Only when Arjuna says, "Hey Bhagavan, aham te shishya," at that point only, then Bhagavan starts to teach, not before. Because shishya bhava is needed. I have to adopt that role. I have to take that hat off. I am a student. And you are my teacher. Until that point, guru will not teach. Last week, we had chick camp, and Sohamji had made a wonderful point of being scolded by the guru. So he was telling, you know, we had this Bhagavatam yajna going on, and they had messed up the AV system. One day, 2 days, 3 days, and Guruji was like, "So by now you all don't know to fix it properly. I mean, this is the third day after all, right?" And he explained that the guru could only scold if he has that love in his heart, and he could only scold if the student allows him to scold. If the student has accepted him as a teacher, then only he will scold, but he will scold with love. If he feels close in that way. Up until that point, teacher will not scold. So Shishya Bhava is needed. Now, from Shloka 7, like I was explaining yesterday, the Vishaya, the subject matter begins. So up until now, the description of Adhikari, description of student. Now, the actual subject matter, description of Atma, that begins. And so at this point, the Guru starts speaking. Shri Guru Ruvacha Drishyam Yadetachcha Jadam Vikari. Sarvam hyanatmaiva mrsha vinashi. Atma tu drashtaiva chiti svabhavah. Nadrishyate napi nibadhyate va. So Shri Guru Ruvacha, Guru is speaking. Yad etat drishyam, that which is seen. What is that which is seen? He gives adjectives. It is jadam. Jada means insentient, inert. It is vikari. It is subject to the six forms of modification, existence, birth, growth, maturity, decay, and destruction. It is vinashi. So the sixth type of modification is destruction. So vikari means it has these six modifications. And then the next description is, he's telling the sixth one is destruction. didn't know, now you know. It is destruction. Mrsha, it is mithya. Mithya means it is an appearance. It is not actually there. This is, whatever is seen, this is the nature of everything which is seen. Sarvam hi anatma eva. Everything that has these descriptions, it is anatma. It is not me. It is seen, not me. It is jaram, it is not me. It is vikari, vinashi, mrsha, it is not me. It is not atma. Sarvam hi anatma eva. However, atma tu drashta eva. Atma is the seer. It is not the seen. And what is the nature of seer? Chitti swabhava. It is of the nature of chit, consciousness. Chaitanya swarupa. It is of the nature of knowledge. Na drishyate. It cannot be seen. Atma cannot be known as an object. When we say Atma cannot be seen, it means that Atma cannot be known in the way I know this object. Atma cannot be known in the way I know my thoughts. All of those are seen. They are drishyam. Atma cannot be seen. It cannot be known as an object. And it also, na api nibadhyateva. Atma is never bound. Atma is ever liberated. Let us just compare. So four adjectives were given of anatma and two adjectives were given of atma. But we can make it four and four very easily. So jadam. Jada means inert and sentient. Means it is made up of the five elements and it does not have the ability to know. What is jadam then? This body is made up of five elements. Mind also is made up of the five subtle elements. Intellect is made up of five subtle elements, right? All of those belong to, they are called as jadam. So mind intellect is not atma. It is anatma. Whereas atma is chitti swabhava. It is of the nature of knowledge. It is sentient. It has the ability to know. It is of the nature of knowledge itself. Can ignorance exist there, which is of the nature of knowledge? No. It is knowledge only. There is no way ignorance can be there. Do you know why this is important? Because of the phrase that says, na api nibadhyateva. It is not bound. So, what is the cause of bondage? Do you know? Ignorance. Ignorance is the cause of bondage. Atma is of the nature of knowledge. Ignorance cannot exist there. So, how can it be bound? Follow?
Yes.
Again? Ignorance? Sorry, bondage. The cause of bondage is ignorance. But Atma is of the nature of knowledge. If it is the nature of knowledge, then ignorance cannot exist there. If ignorance cannot exist there, then it cannot be bound. This is how we get na api nibbaddhyateva. So, jaram. Chitti swabhava. Then vikari, it's a subject of modification. So six modifications are there. If six modifications are there, it is some effect. Because what is modification? Modification of cause creates an effect. Atma is avikari. It is not subject to any modification. It is the ultimate cause. Next, vinashi. Because it is subject to modification, one of those modifications, the final one, is destruction. Anatma is subject to destruction. But Atma, which cannot ever be modified, well, if it can't be modified by any of the previous five, then how can it be destroyed? So, Vikari, sorry, Vinashi and Avinash. And the fourth one is Mrsha or Mithya. Mithya means it is an appearance. Anatma is an appearance. It is not actually there. It never was there. It is not there, nor will it ever be there. And the example of that is the snake on the rope. The snake was never there. It is not there, nor will it ever be there. That is the definition of mithya. It does not exist in the three periods of time. It is an appearance. Satyam, however, means mrsha versus satyam. Satyam is that which is absolute, absolutely existing in all three periods of time. That is Atma. So in this way, we have come up with four comparisons between Anatma and Atma. So na drishyate, Atma is not seen as an object, is not known as an object, and it is not bound because it is of the nature of knowledge. In knowledge, ignorance cannot exist, and therefore, there is no scope for bondage. Okay, we go to the again, it is describing the nature of Atma as Sakshi, as witness, and as Ashraya, as the supporter. आत्मा ही नित्यो खिल लोक साक्षी। स एव जगतः परमाश्रयोपि। एवं विजानन् सदसद्विवेकी। भवति ह सिद्ध परमार्थदर्शी। आत्मा एव, आत्मा अलोन इज, नित्यः अखिल लोक साक्षी। आत्मा इज साक्षी, आत्मा इज द विटनेस ऑफ व्हाट? Akhila Loka, of the entire universe. When Nityaha, all of the time, Atma is always the witness of the entire universe. And Akhila Loka means not only Bhuhu, it means all 14 worlds. So whichever Jiva is here, Atma is the witness of all intellects. Witness means Atma illumines all intellects at the same time, all of the time. This is Nitya. Why? Because we just saw Atma is Chitti Swabhava. Atma is of the nature of knowledge. Because of आत्मा, दिस अंतःकरण हैज द एबिलिटी टू नो. आत्मा इज एब्सेंट फ्रॉम दिस इक्वेशन ऑफ इंटेलेक्ट. दिस इंटेलेक्ट इज व्हाट द सटल फाइव एलिमेंट्स. कैन द सटल फाइव एलिमेंट्स नो एनीथिंग? नो, वी जस्ट सॉ इट इज जड़. सो इट इज बिकॉज ऑफ द प्रेजेंस ऑफ आत्मा दिस इंटेलेक्ट हैज द एबिलिटी टू नो. In the same way, all other intellects have the ability to know. Why? Because of the presence of that Atma. Akhila Loka Sakshi. And Atma only is Jagataha Paramashraya Api. Atma is the Ashraya, the supporter, the substratum, the Paramashraya. It is the supreme substratum of the entire jagat. In seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, seventh shloka, Bhagavan says, I pervade this universe like the string of the pearls, of the pearl necklace. I am the supporter of that pearl necklace. I am the supporter of this world. Like that, I pervade this world. I am the supporter of this world. I am the substratum of this world. Another example that is used, clay and clay pot. The clay pot is the effect. What is holding up that effect? It is clay. It is pervading the entire effect. Without the clay, there is no clay pot. Like that only, Atma is upholding the entire universe. As the Upadana Karanam, as the material cause of the universe, as well as the efficient cause of the universe, the Nimitta Karanam. So, material cause and intelligent cause. So the material cause and the technical know-how. In both ways, Bhagavan pervades the universe. When you talk about clay and clay pot, right? The clay could only ever be material cause, but it could never be the efficient cause. For that, you need the pot maker. Bhagavan said, I am both. I am the clay and the pot maker. One who has done vivekha between sat and asat, between atma and anatma, between satyam and mithya, he is viveki. That person, evam vijanan, he knows in this way, he is paramartha darshi. He is the knower of truth, of paramartha. He is the seer of absolute reality. Saha siddhaha iha bhavati. Right here itself, he is enlightened. Right here itself, he gains liberation. Right here itself, he is jivan mukta. He cannot wait for death. So there is that misunderstanding that I will gain liberation when I die. That is not correct. Jivan Mukta is right here. Jivan Mukti is right here, right now, in this life, at this very moment. Why? Because Atma was never bound. Once I understand that I am Atma, right here and right now, liberation takes place because I was never bound to begin with. I just need to identify I am Atma with these. This is my nature. I am Sat. I am Chit Swabhava. I am Drashta. I am Avikari, Avinashi, Satyam. This is who I am. Once I understand that, What bondage is there? What liberation is needed? No liberation is needed because I was never bound to begin with. Well, nice. Ram Ram Ram
Ram Ram Ram Ram Ram Ram Ram
Hare Ram Ram Sita Ram 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 Chandra Ki Jai. Before we do final. Puja Swami Swarupananda ji has recently released this text on, it is entitled as Namaha Shivaya. It is the Shiva Panchakshara Sutram, where the syllables Namaha Shivaya is explained. And he has given lovely commentary on this particular sutram. He just released it. And this came gone a few weeks ago. Last week, and all copies were sold out. Whatever copies they brought, it was gone before the end of the day. So that alone will tell you it is a good read. So you please, it is available in the back there on the table. You please purchase your copies. पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ श्रीसद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय हरिः ओम I'll see you all tomorrow.